So to be convincing and persuasive, there are a bunch of skills you need. The personal skills revolve around having healthy self-esteem. This is the opposite of a big ego. Healthy self-esteem is a realization that I am a child of God, that inside of me, I'm perfect. That I can be as successful as I want to be, I've just got to allow myself. Whether that's success measured by the strength of my relationships, whether that's success measured by the success of my business, whether that's success measured by my friendships, my personal goals, it doesn't matter what the success method is. But the first thing is that healthy self-esteem. The second thing is high levels of emotional intelligence. The willingness to understand myself and others. People with high levels of emotional intelligence know how they feel and can change how they feel. That's an interesting concept. I know how I feel, but I can change it. I can go from being angry to being happy or sad, or I can change from one emotion to another by an act of will. Can you see that I'd first of all have to know how I feel before I could be bothered or before I could learn the skill of changing it?
That's something I've learnt recently, and it's brilliant.
It's brilliant because I bring it back to me instead of allow it to be the circumstances. So the four skills in emotional intelligence basically are at the bottom, or the bedrock, is knowing how I feel. I reckon 50% of Australians don't actually know how they feel. You can try this anytime you want to give it a go. Just say to someone, well, how do you feel about that? 50% of people are going to go, oh, I don't know, you know, well, which is like, I don't know. The second level is being able to change how you feel deliberately. The third is recognizing what other people feel, instead of projecting onto them. Because I'm angry, I'm assuming that you are. Because I'm sad about something, I'm assuming you're sad about it. So recognizing what other people are feeling. And the fourth skill is influencing others. So the highest skill is the one we're talking about today. So it's a part of emotional intelligence. And third, you have to be motivated. So people without high levels of self-motivation, people who can't get themselves up and get themselves going, are going to find it difficult to be persuasive. So they're the personal skills. As far as interpersonal skills are concerned, to be good at influencing and persuading, then you're going to have the ability to sense what other people are feeling. You can see that I'm going back into emotional intelligence when I say empathy. Empathy is the ability to identify what another person is feeling and parallel that, get onto the same wavelength as them. You're just not going to make it unless you have high-level listening skills. High-level listening skills are kind of something you can spend a lot of time doing, but the more you learn to ask questions, the more you'll be listening, because if you ask a question, most people figure they need to answer it. And so they'll answer that, which means you need to listen. So that's kind of pretty important there. Building rapport is important, because until people feel like you understand them and get where they're coming from, they will feel the need to keep telling you or to cut off. So if they think you don't get it or get them, I'll keep coming at you with what it is until you show signs of understanding, or they will just retreat. So rapport building turns out to be one of the really important concepts. We do need to develop high-level communication skills. If I said there was one high-level communication skill that was above all the others and you had to take a guess at it, what do you reckon it would be?
Listening.
Listening? Well, because I've got that listed up there, what I'm going to say is, no, let's go to the part now where you're doing the talking. What's the key ingredient in communicating effectively?
Looking at your audience?
Sorry?
Looking at your audience or something?
Yeah, well, if you're not making eye contact, if you're not actually in the room with them, yeah, you're not there. They're not there. They won't be there with you.
Body language.
Body language, also important. None of these things are wrong. I'm saying there's one that stands head and shoulders above the rest. Well, once again, I would say that that's really important. It's not this one that I'm thinking of that's head and shoulders above the rest.
Truthfulness?
Same thing. It's necessary. It's not head and shoulders above the rest. It's an essential ingredient. You won't get it because I haven't mentioned it. You guys have mentioned it in reverse. What do you all do that you know that you shouldn't? When you're talking, what do you all do?
Talk too much.
Talk too much. What do you reckon would be the highest level communication skill?
Talk less.
That would be the opposite.
You're a genius, Ange. I'm not saying I handed that on a plate, but you're a genius.
Rob Cole said, paraphrasing back to them what they told you, so you know that they understood.
Well, Rob, I reckon you're right. Paraphrasing back to people is evidence that you've been listening. Therefore, I'm going to put it in the listening skills. When it comes to you talking, when you're the one who has to open your trap and say something, that's what I mean by excellent communication skills. So I'm limiting it down to, all right, when you've actually got to say something. The less words you use, the better you're going to go.
Don't bury the lead.
Sorry?
Don't bury the lead.
Don't bury the...
The lead.
Yeah.
Like in a news report, you don't. Get straight to the chase.
Just nail it. If I said to you, how was your holiday, mate? Most people are going to tell us what?
The story about the holiday.
Story. If it was Mary, well, on the day when we're going, we got up and we packed the car. And you wouldn't believe how hard it is to pack the car. We've got a different car and it doesn't fit as much stuff as it used to, the other one car does, and blah, 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 blah. I'm thinking, that's not your holiday. Well, we haven't started on the holiday yet. We're packing.
Yeah, but that's the southeast.
That's Mary. So, because in Mary's mind, if she doesn't tell you from the beginning through to the end, she didn't tell you. It's her way of doing it. So her and I argue about why I don't listen to her. And I say, well, I don't listen because you don't say anything worth listening to because I don't want to hear the bit about you packed the car. So far, so good? Now, I'm not right and she's not right. What I'm saying is when it comes to you communicating effectively, you've got a situation where you need to get a message across. You want something to go in between the ears of your kids. You want someone who works for you to understand something. When you have to communicate something, cut to the chase. Look at what you've got to say and say, how do I shrink that? I had one of our coaches send me his bio the other day. I said, write a bio, mate. We need to put it on, you know, you need to put it on your website. And so he did that and I said, it's excellent. Cut it down by 50% and it'll be perfect. He goes, I can't. I go, well, you just have to have something that's not perfect then. He goes, well, what bit am I going to cut out? I said, I don't care what you cut out, mate, but there's just, you need to make it. You see, what's going to happen is no one's going to read it because they have to read for too long. I'm not listening to Mary because I have to listen for too long. I get bored. Does that make sense? So when it comes to going on a holiday, if I say, how was your holiday, mate? I want to give you an example of what I consider to be an excellent piece of communication when I asked that question one time to a guy who'd learned how to say it all quickly. He happened to work for me and I said, how was your holiday, mate? And he goes, you know what it's like when you get your kids and everything you own and you pack it in the four-wheel drive and you go up the highway door handle to door handle with everyone else in Australia? I said, yeah. He goes, and then you get to the beach and that's where everyone was going. That was my holiday. So tell me what his holiday was like.
Mm.
Sorry?
Crammed, busy lines.
It was crammed, yeah. It was busy, it was frantic, yeah. And there was a shitload of people everywhere that he wanted to go.
Noisy.
And he was glad to get back at work. But what he said was, oh, you know what it's like, mate. So he just drew me in. So far, so good. Oh, you know what it's like, mate. You pack your kids and everything you own into the four-wheel drive. What does that say? Your kids and everything you own into the four-wheel drive. What's it say?
Too much was taken.
What the fuck are we doing taking all this shit everywhere?
We can have it here at home.
So far, so good. And then you drive up the highway at 100 k's an hour, door handle to door handle with everyone else in Australia. What image comes to mind?
On a Sunday.
Uh-huh. And then you get to the beach end, you discover that that's where everyone was going.
Mm-hmm.
What's the picture in your heads? What's the picture of the beach? What have you got in your head right now about what that beach looks like?
Sitting there with kids running past you, kicking sand in your face.
And everybody's that far away from the next family. In other words, he conveyed massive amounts of information with a couple of sentences.
Mm.
How did he do that? He thought about how do you say it all in? Mm. And that's my thing for you, is as a professional communicator, and that's what you all do. Right? You're all professional communicators. When it comes time to opening your mouth, how do you say it in the smallest number of words that create pictures in people's heads that correlate with what you're trying to communicate? The other interpersonal skill that's going to be important is being organised. That means having your visuals or your demonstration things or whatever ready. Give yourself a score for your personal skills and your interpersonal skills and answer this question: which do you think needs most attention? Because we'll spend the rest of the day on what needs the most attention. First thing to understand, so there's some basics that we need to cover. There's some principles of persuasion that I'd like to get across to you. The first is, persuasion is not manipulation. If you consider that persuasion is manipulation, then you should stop. Because manipulation boils down to coercion through force or to get somebody to do something that's really not in their best interest. And really, we don't want to be there. So we need to understand persuasion is not manipulation. It's looking for the best possible solution. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The second thing to understand is that you should only be trying to persuade the persuadable. In other words, there's going to be people who can be persuaded and people who are just not interested. And we should recognise that lots of people are not interested and we should just leave them be rather than try and convince them of something that they're not interested in. So in our classic example today, Sarah wasn't interested in a pen because she's interested in a pencil. We should not be trying to sell pens to someone who wants to buy pencils. That's the whole concept there. Okay. Context and timing matter. So what we mean by that is that there are two things that are kind of the building blocks. And the first is that context has to be relevant. That means, are we Are we relevant? Is what we're talking about relevant to the person that we're dealing with? And timing means, okay, so what about them and their life and how do things fit? So it has to be contextual, it has to be relevant, and it has to be at the time that works for them. If you look at what Ange and Jen do in the physiotherapy game, I guess you get people who just walk in with a problem. Do you get people who come in because they're in a treatment program?
Yeah.
That's a different context. One context is acute care or pain, motivated behaviour, and there are others, I'm in a program of getting something sorted. So that's what I mean by context. Timing revolves around, is the timing right for the recovery process? So there's two kinds of timing. When can you come in and see us, and how far apart do the visits need to be for us to be effective? So that's what I mean by context and timing. You have to be interested before you can be persuaded, right? You can't just persuade someone who's not interested in it. So remember, people are most interested in themselves. So ask about what it is that they're looking for. Because that the main reason why I like questions is it gets people to reveal themselves from their personal thinking point of view. And I guess what it means is you have to learn to talk to people in terms, or talk in general, about what's of interest to them. Then it's important that we set expectations. So a lot of persuasion is about managing expectations so that people would trust your judgment. And if we go to the mega data, then what we'll find is that if we bring in a new chief executive officer and they promise 20% increase in sales, but we get a 30% increase, that person gets rewarded. But if under the same circumstances we brought someone in who promised a 40% increase and delivered 35%, that person gets punished. In other words, the second one did better than the first one, but one got rewarded and one got punished based on the expectation. Therefore, this is a reason for under-promise and over-deliver. This is just a natural thing for human beings to notice the plus, not notice the minus. Sorry, they'll penalise a minus. So look at it from the point of view of lowering expectations so that you are over-delivering. Next thing is don't assume. So don't assume what somebody needs. Ask them. Always make sure that you ask them how they value it. Because quite often what we do is we assume that people either don't have the time or don't have the money or don't have the interest or don't have the whatever it is, rather than asking about it. So when I went and saw the dentist, I happened to be in a kind of pretty emergency kind of situation. So I actually turned up in pretty raggy clothes and thongs and all the rest of it. I don't think I'd had a shower for a while, all that sort of stuff. It would have been easy for them to assume that I was one of the caravan dwellers and that I couldn't afford the implant and all those sort of things. So it's important that they give me all the options anyway. Remember that images matter. Where you can convey your message in an image, you're better off to go for the image. Images happen to do with first impressions. And remember, what I'm talking about when my friend said, tell you what my holiday was like, you know, when you get everything you own and your kids and you pack them all in the four-wheel drive, that he was making images in my head. So he's painting a picture in my head for me. So images, we work on images. And then tell the truth. This is pretty obvious. We have to cover it, though. Sometimes the most effective way of affecting the outcome is to tell somebody something that they don't want to hear, that perhaps other people are unwilling to say. Because we get known for telling the truth, and sometimes facing facing facts that are not pleasant is sometimes some of the most liberating stuff that we can ever come across. You know, I put together a presentation last week that I thought was pretty good, and I showed it to Jules, and he said, that is a long way from your best stuff. I think that you need to add some more to it. It was pretty hard to hear after I'd kind of done a lot of work and put a lot of effort into it and thought it was pretty good. But she was right when she said, that is a long way from your best material. You really need to think about whether you want to let it be like that or just take it back and have another go. Wasn't my best day, but it turned out to be my best week. The people who are flexible are going to do the best. So it's not who's got the most power, it's the person who can be the most flexible. You know, the reason that trees don't blow over in a gale is they're flexible. The ones that do blow over are the ones that are stiff and rigid, so cactuses blow over, whereas gum trees tend to not do it so much. And learn to transfer energy. The more relaxed and laid back you are, the less likely there is to be something happen. So when Ange was talking about getting all excited, I actually think that that's a good thing. You actually got to bring some excitement about any kind of change that you want to bring into your family, into your life in general, any kind of change that you're proposing. You actually want to be excited about it. Otherwise, why would we bother? Like, you know what? If it's incremental change, just tell us, you know, send me an email. So there's a level of excitement about what we're doing that's important that we need to transfer across to other people. And watch out for the people who drain yours. The energy vampires, you've got to manage them. Otherwise, you're going to end up with none, and they can suck it off you without using any energy themselves. So they don't get tired from sucking it out of you. You get tired from letting them do that.
One of the biggest things that we did like quite a while ago was when you taught me how to deal with stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you survive that, et cetera, et cetera. That has been so beneficial to calmness.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to tap into the truth of yourself, which is that deep down inside of us there is a core of inner peacefulness. And it's constant. It doesn't change, it's always there, and it's important that we use that, that we refer to that, that we fall back to it all the time. But don't forget to laugh and be excited and engage with people. Being clear is key. What's the secret to being clear?
Talk less.
Say less. Less words. The less words, the more clear it has to be. I like this concept. If you can't explain it to a 15-year-old and that the 15-year-old could go and explain it to an adult, it's probably a bit complex. And if it gets complex, people get confused. And if they get confused, what do? Shut down or do nothing. Therefore, the art of persuasion is actually about simplifying things. It's to bring it down to its essence. And then see if they care about that. Winston Churchill said, if you want me to give a 5-minute speech, I will need a week to prepare. If it's a half-hour speech, I can be ready in a couple of days. If it's a 1-hour speech, I can start now. What he was saying was, to get it down to a 5-minute speech, I'm going to have to spend a week cutting it, find the essence. And being prepared is kind of like very, very important. You should always know as much as you possibly can about the people and the situations you're dealing with. Part of your effectiveness is whether you can get ready for that or not. We can't always do that. As Jason says, detachment is really important. There's got to be conflict in our lives. We're not going to get through our lives without there being conflict. Therefore, what we need to do is be aware that we can't stop conflict. What you can do is you can manage it. To manage it, what it means is that you've got to get out of the heightened emotion that everybody else is going to buy into. Basically, when people get heightened emotion, what they do is they start to look for the people who are remaining calm. They look for guidance for those who are not wound up and overwrought and talking about extreme situations and getting desperate and we've got to do something. So there's a natural gravity towards the person who can stay cool, calm and collected while pandemonium is breaking loose. But above all, keep your proposition, whatever it is, keep it clear. Make sure it's easily understood. The test is, what's the test about? Could it be understood? Could the 15-year-old explain it to an adult and get it across to them? In terms of building trust, there are things that you need to do that are pretty much, this. None of this will be new to you. I just need to mention it because it's worth saying. In terms of being reliable, you have to just do what you promised that you were going to do. So just live up to your word, honour your promises, turn up when you said you would, do what you said you would do, all of those sort of things. At the same time, be open. What that means is you should volunteer information, particularly about your position, particularly about your interest, particularly about the way you would want to see it going. But you can also indicate what you won't say. So I was on this building site the other day that I was telling you about where my developer friend was looking at buying the block down the corner. His construction manager was talking to me and the developer mate. And it was the first time I'd been on this site, the first time I'd met this construction manager. And I was just listening in. The conversation developed to a problem and the construction manager said, "I'm sorry, Paul, I can't say that. I don't know you well enough to continue the conversation." So he didn't want to talk about the problem that they're experiencing because he didn't know me well enough and he said so. So I got the message and took a walk and they got on with it and my developer friend came looking for me afterwards. That gave them the room to discuss it as long as they wanted to and everybody held their integrity. And I was really glad that this guy said out loud, "I don't want to talk about it in front of you." Because it made it easy for me to go, "Okay, so you either don't talk about it and I stay here or I'll just go for a wander and look at some stuff." It was clear and easy. Does that make sense? It wasn't personal. He said, "I don't know you well enough, mate." Really easy to do. That's part of being honest. So I'm not going to hammer along about telling the truth. What's more important is speaking from the heart. So tell the truth of how you feel. So get your feelings into words that make sense. And show integrity. What that means is if someone tells you a secret, you keep it a secret. That means displaying loyalty. Of course, you only display loyalty to people who've earned it, but you can give it away as an opening gambit. And stay calm because most people appreciate it. And part of maintaining your integrity is staying out of calling names and labelling people and devolving into easy conversation, or easy bigoted or biased conversation. And understand that you've probably got to change. Understand that life is about evolving. And we build trust with others when we talk about the changes that we are working on for ourselves, the things that we are struggling with. I think as a professional in your field, when you talk about your education in your field, your continuing education in your field, that builds trust because it does a number of things. It talks about what you're doing to keep getting better, but it displays your openness about not being perfect. And not knowing everything and all those sort of things.
Thought would be not to denigrate other people behind their backs.
That
really gets to me when people...
Yes, I think the thing about not denigrating other people behind their backs is that, you know, what occurs for me is I think, well, if you're saying that about them when they're not here, what are you saying about me when I'm not here? So I think it's a really important concept. Okay, so exercise, if you want to build trust and give others the opportunity to make a connection with the real you, including who you are emotionally, then do you say what represents your true feelings and what influences your decision to share those feelings? Those are the things that need to be clear to you. That makes sense? Do you say what represents your true feelings? Do you say how it is for you? And what influences that? Bearing in mind there are some people that maybe you don't know them well enough yet. Make sense? Cool. We're going to break for lunch. For those of you at home, it's been great having you with us. Keep the feedback coming. We are going to break until 1 p.m. So we're going to start, the transmission will stay live, and I'll be back on the dot of 1 o'clock. But it's lunchtime now. Ready, set, go.